The Naked City on FBI.
Yes,
yes,
indeed.
It definitely is.
We just heard from El Guincho.
That was a very quick track, very economical on the sound there.
He's playing at the Metro on Sunday the 11th of May. He might even have his sex education sample. Miss Death, what's the matter with you there?
Nothing.
Look, I can recommend something if you've got a bit of a cold.
Yeah.
Go and get a jar of jalapenos and just eat them raw, you know.
And it just jalapenos,
yeah. Jalapenos, whatever you want to call them, and
the jalapenos. Cool,
do they
beat up your nose?
Do they clear
Aren't
out
they
your
hot
nose?
Chilies?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
the hotter the better.
Yeah,
they'll clear up.
They'll kill you, basically.
Yes, they will. But
of course, you'll get better when you're dead.
Well, listen, a lot of amazing discs have been released by many, many labels in this country. Things are just exploding on the DVD market. In reality, I don't know how
Do you think
people
there's too
keep
much
up
out
too much product, Miss Death.
Yes.
I mean, for God's sake, slow down. Let's just have a complete stop for another couple of years. Then all the companies will collapse, unfortunately. First, I'm just quickly going to DV1. Coffinhead, you're going to love this. DV1 have just released the Rudy Ray Moore back catalogue.
Really?
They've actually put out Disco Godfather, Petey Wheatstraw, and, of course, the greatest of them all, The Human Tornado.
So, fantastic.
I haven't seen The Human Tornado.
Any extras at all, J.K.?
Oh, I'm sure there's piled with extras. I haven't had the chance to check them out, but I just know DV1 are a great label, but these are the penultimate when it comes to blaxploitation gone wrong. So I think what you should do, if you're up for a lazy, quiet, little long weekend there, I think you should go down to your local DVD purchase store, whatever company that is, and just check out the DV1 Blaxploitation, Rudy Ray Moore, The Human Tornado. What a great film that is.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good.
Sirens also put out an extraordinary documentary, The Mark of Cain, which is all about the Russian criminal tattoos. Do you know about those?
No, I haven't seen
them. They are the
one.
Most...
They're pretty scary.
You can actually read people's bodies like a roadmap. This is not a documentary if you're feeling depressed. Don't purchase it at all.
It's not for the kiddies
but
either.
But if you're ready for a really incredible inside look at not only the prison, the Russian prison system, but these extraordinary tattoos that leave that whole Western modern primitive
butterfly on my
fiasco.
Shoulder.
Yeah, leave that in the garbage bin. All that Celtic imagery. Because these tattoos tell you what crimes you've done, who you belong to, where you're going to. They're definitely the roadmap of people's lives over there. The Mark of Cain, that's out on Siren. Thanks to Siren.
And Siren, who's put out the Waxier stories?
They've come out through Siren as well.
Siren as well, that's right.
Complete
they've got the box
set.
Some of the best Shaw Brothers coffin. Have you seen that one?
No.
From the 70s.
Really?
And the box set includes the Magic Blade, the 12 Medallions, Web of Death, Death Jewel, and Clans of Intrigue.
Gee, so, I'll have to be on to Leith down in Melbourne for my
Absolutely.
Chinese
copy. Sword fighting.
We're doing the review now.
Outsider Heroes, Intrigue, Betrayal, and 70s Shaw Brothers studio sets are what you get in high doses in this box set. All great examples of the roots of where films like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero, House of Flying Daggers came from. So this
exactly.
is where they've drawn all this stuff from. So it's something always comes before everything.
Well, I mean,
it?
The Shaw Brothers were absolute incredible quality.
Absolutely.
They did the first co-production with Australia years ago, The Man from Hong Kong.
That's right. The basic concept of these films, a loner swordsman getting involved in trouble between warring clans, getting mixed up with a girl and going off to fix some stuff that's not right.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
The plots are always complicated, the fighting's spectacular, and the choreography, of course, is amazing. And these films are like detective novels or film noir movies from the 40s in terms of plot, except Chinese, of course, are more operatic, aren't they? With stories originating from Wuxia literature, Chinese fantasy sword fighting novels, equivalent of the pulp stories that film noir came from. So if you're into any of that sort of stuff, this is the box set for you. That's the Wuxia Stories.
So it's TV One for the best, most crucial blaxploitation, and it's Siren for the Shaw Brothers.
Shaw Brothers,
Wuxia
the best
stories.
70s.
Look, Siren also did one other thing I have to mention at the end here. It's like a red rag to a bull for me. It's Penn & Teller's series they've released, the first season. Bullshit. You want to get really angry? You want to get really, really angry? Get a hold of this, because these guys just disgust me. And it's no wonder the Channel 9's playing this series at all, you know, because this is one of the most outrageous things that's ever been put to air. I don't think it's worth even glimpsing at for a second.
I think Penn and Teller are bullshit.
Well, they're agent provocateurs, you know. I mean,
they're pathetic.
No,
they really are. What, they're guys? They're guys in Vegas trying to get a complete run, you know. I mean,
agent provocateur, you've got to have something to back up your provocation. You know, attacking someone and saying, "Oh, he's just mad," is not
kick
a way,
him down the stairs.
Or kick this guy down the stairs is not a proper way of attacking
evidently
somebody.
Evidently, the basis of this, if they went about properly attacking people, the series would have never got to air. But by using profanities, they're able to get around the legal system in terms of defaming people.
That's right.
So anyway, look, Penn and Teller had an interesting history there, stage magicians.
But that's gone now.
A part of the skeptics world, but they also were the people that were the front piece for Ralph Records and the Residents for many, many years. And this is where I really think, you know, the leopard has lost its spot. Well, whatever, I
Change
don't care.
Change its spots.
Yeah, whatever.
Or lost it. I think they lost it.
Completely anyway. Lost it. Anyway.
Okay, you're on the Naked City. If you'd like to send us an email here from anywhere in the world, studio@fbiradio.com. We'll read your emails out if they're the best emails, and maybe you'll give that Penn and Teller DVD to the best email today, Jake.
I wouldn't do that to anyone. No.
Okay. Well, we might have something for the best email today. So studio@fbiradio.com if you want to get in contact.
Look, I think it's really actually a great training course if you want to bone up on what the skeptics' arguments are. You want to bone up and get ready to take them on full ball. Go out there and rent or buy season one of Penn and Teller's bullshit.
94.5 FM holds the Naked City. Enjoy.
Oh, my God, this world is awash with technology, Coffin. It's going to kill us all. It really is.
In the end,
we won't be doing anything with each other. We'll be just roaming around with microchips in our mouth.
That's right.
I'm sure of it. Miss Death, what do you reckon?
Haven't you got one already?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've got you. You don't look a thing like a microchip, nor do you react like one.
No, I don't.
Well, listen, we've got an incredible guest in the studio, someone who's about to leave this fair country, leave this beautiful city, and end up right in the heart of earthquake territory. David Rogers. How are you, Dave?
Very well. Thanks, Jamie.
Tell us a little bit about this project. You've been working on it now for at least a decade, haven't you? The Earthquake Machine.
It is a decade, yes. You mentioned earlier this morning about it came from the Earth Exchange Museum 10 years ago.
What a great museum that was.
Wonderful.
Last long?
No, about 2 years.
Yeah.
About 2 years. What I've been doing is this machine came out, I tendered for it, and it was successfully tendered. And what I've been doing is working towards installing it in the most, you know, pure conceptual environment I can find. San Andreas Fault.
That is extraordinary. I can't believe it. You're actually taking to America the image of what could be their future.
It's impending.
It's taking Coles to Newcastle, though. That's
Newcastle to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Tell us what the machine actually is for people who don't understand. I mean, it's still a hard concept to get your head around, an earthquake machine. What does it do? Does it replicate the earthquake?
Exactly. It's a hydraulic table. It's a large table, 5.5 metres by 3.5 metres. And what it does is it's hydraulically moving horizontally and vertically. And what I'm doing with this table is I'm installing it in this remote township called Parkfield, Central California. Geographically, it's 200 miles from San Francisco and LA.
Large population, small population there?
Oh, it's going to be a hit in Parkfield. It has a population of 18.
Oh, my God, how fantastic.
But it's a significant part of the U.S. Geological Survey's study of seismology. Parkfield have been conducting experiments there for 20 years. And what they tried to do is they've set up an array of instrumentation to capture a magnitude 6 or above earthquake close to the epicenter. And they got this event in 2004. So conceptually, Parkfield is very significant as far as seismology is concerned. Hence, I'm installing it in this remote township.
Beautiful. And where are you installing it? Is it in a roadhouse?
It's actually next to a roadhouse. It's actually in an open field next to what's known as the Parkfield Cafe.
Right.
And it's an interesting environment in the sense that the landowner who owns this field, who owns the cafe, agreed to this taking place. And his philosophy was, well, if I can sell a few more hamburgers, it'll be a good thing for all of us.
Well, that's gorgeous.
Though I've indicated...
While his diner's coming down around his ears.
While it's coming down
interesting.
Around his ears. But I should explain too, with this installation, attached to this hydraulic table is a formation of steel rods. So each time an earthquake occurs, these rods resonate and oscillate. And so you get this really a mechanical visual representation of the dynamic, you know, landscape of California.
Now, you're part scientist, part artist. Your history goes way back in this country with installations and machine works. When I first met you, I think you were working alongside of Triclops International, which is our version of Survival Research Laboratories. Tell us what that career... Can you sum it up quickly, Dave? I'm sorry, what sort of a question is that?
Well, Triclops International or my... career.
Well, your career alongside, you run parallel with all these people.
Sure. Look, I've been doing all sorts of performance-based installation works for, you know, 15 years now in Sydney. It actually started out in the early 90s with post-arrivalists.
That's right.
And then I've been working with Ben Blakeburn and Miles Van Dawson of Triclops International since the mid-90s. We did a series of machine performance theatre shows, often seen in the big day out, right through up to the 2000 was the last show. And the Triclops model was probably more well known for its molten iron work, the volcanic work. So seismology and volcanology, it's all kind of intertwined. And
it's beautiful. I remember the molten godhead down there
White Bay.
That was a profound event. Absolutely beautiful. Mm. I mean, who else is actually going to smelt a metal as part of a performance piece and then bring it out to the people, basically? I mean, I love the tactile nature of that. You could not only see one of the greatest performances in your life, you could get burnt.
You could feel it. You could feel
it.
This was certainly wonderful. Very wonderful.
Now, I believe you're actually doing a night to actually hopefully throw a few dollars towards what must be a very expensive venture in getting this machine over there.
Yeah, it is. You mentioned earlier, the machine's actually on a boat. It's halfway between New Zealand and...
It's already on its way.
The US.
But if you don't pay, it's going to be dumped halfway there.
So what I'm doing this Thursday night in a small little space in Erskineville called Nitro Septimus. It's 35 Septimus Street, Erskineville. I'm giving a presentation about the concept. I'm showing some illustrations, some video, a model, because it involves an excavation, this work. I'm actually trenching across the fault. And on Thursday night, I've got some guests coming along doing some seismic sound. So I've got an array of audio seismic recordings. I've got a bunch of trombonists coming along to perform with it. And the idea is... the trombone being used as an instrument to kind of replicate this idea of a wave travelling through the earth. And Thursday night's really just in many ways, it's a concept farewell. I want to just present the idea and just demonstrate what I'm doing, and hopefully there might be some gold coins to contribute to
the cost.
Well,
there should be more than gold coins. People are too tight out there, they need to give everything, clothing, the whole lot. Now, what time does this start?
It starts at 6.
6 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, 6 to 9 p.m.
It's at Nitro Septimus, that's 35 Septimus Street, Erskineville.
What a great name for a street. Mm. Extraordinary. Yeah.
Is there a website people can get onto to just have a look and see?
If you can go to blog.allshookup.org and you'll see a listing there about the venue and the presentation, how you can get there.
Now, I believe members of Survival Research may be assisting you in this overseas venture. Is that right? Does Mark Pauline still go on?
They're going very well. Mark's moved to north of San Francisco now. But this work, yes, there are a couple of SRL members contributing to the project, particularly with software development.
Oh, right.
And so it's very exciting to have those kind of people involved. It certainly gives it an edge that...
Gives it balls.
gives it balls.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's wonderful to have that kind of support. Mm. And it's been wonderful over the last couple of years spending time on the West Coast to actually spend some time with these people.
Well, I really believe that Miles, Triclops, Ben, yourself are the Australian equivalent of survival research. Of course, it's more difficult in this country because we just can't seem to find the obtainables that you can in that trash culture that is the USA. And I think it's a sad thing that we may lose you. I mean, I'm hoping that the fault, you know, gets active really quickly, and when we get you back here triumphantly saying, well, look, I showed the people there what was coming and no one paid attention. Also, the other thing to take a peek at, just 60 clicks outside of San Francisco in a redwood forest.
They're not going to let you go there.
Bohemian Grove. I know the Secret Service have that place 24 hours a day, but that's where the big heads of state, heads of countries and corporations all go in July.
They
worship a 45-foot stone owl that's based on the Moloch cult. This is part of Scottish Freemasonry, Gnostic science, and I think you should get a little holiday break, pop down there with an infrared camera, because right at the beginning of this two-week thing, they sacrifice the effigy of a child in the arms of this owl, Dave. And I want you as our agent in the field, and we'll be talking to you about it.
Just take the earthquake machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it under the owl, shake the bloody thing to pieces.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be talking. We'd like you as our international correspondent.
I'll be there.
Oh, beautiful. Well, listen, stick with us. You've got a little bit of sound, actually, of an earthquake.
I've played it.
Oh, you're kidding. Let's play it properly. You know, that was playing underneath us.
Which one did you want?
I think we've got it queued up here. Mm-hmm. Coffinhead's got one queued up.
Look, anyone listening, just turn that radio up full blast, you know, to get the full Mergo effect. And
yeah.
If a bit of distortion and make the windows
stand under a doorway and away you go.
And Dave,
I'll just introduce this bit of sound. It's actually a live audio recording of in an auditorium, 1957, of 700 school kids about to listen to a Tchaikovsky recital with an impending earthquake occurs during the...
Is that right?
Oh, that's
hence
just...
Hence the music mixed in there.
That is just magic that they were ready to record that. 700 kids. All right, let's hear it now.
As a first selection, we would like to sing for you a composition by Tchaikovsky entitled Legend. It's a legendary story aimed at the Easter theme. It speaks of the Christ child having planted a rose garden. And when it came into bloom, he invited his little friends to come in to enjoy it. But instead of enjoying it, they tore the roses all off the bushes and left just the thorns for him. And then wove a wreath of thorns and put it on his head. A legendary story. You know what you're going to lose? The dance band is the final program, and it will be cut short. We sing first for you Legend by Tchaikovsky.
City. We still have Dave with us. Dave, tell us about, you're going to be showing a bit of a visual program that's a bit like the Godzilla Final Wars. It's actually Sydney collapsing.
This is not the sustainable Sydney, clearly.
That's right, Jamie. I have this wonderful collection of slides. There's some really early Photoshop manipulations of Sydney being destroyed by an earthquake. They were made early 90s for the Earth Exchange Museum, and it's this wonderful series of Sydney collapsing and the Opera House detaching from Circular Quay and floating away.
Just a floater.
Sort of sedimentary drift just taking off, becoming a ferry unto itself.
I want to see that slideshow.
And so I'm going to show these slides as well and a bunch of other images related to what I call geopoetry.
Oh, that's just incredible. When the sciences and art meet. I never thought that could happen, really, because I've had a big problem with the sciences. They aren't open enough. They're reductionistic thought. You know, and with quantum physics, I don't know how you can reduce your thought when there's supposed to be at least 9 parallel other universes, Goffin.
It's a bit like Richard Dawkins bringing out a karaoke record, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. And it's about bloody time he did.
Yeah.
Well, listen, these slides just sound worth getting there to begin with. No gold coin, bring paper money with you and donate freely. 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Let's have that address again.
It's 35 Septimus Street, Erskineville. And it's a little place called Nitro Septimus. And it's actually a little warehouse space. And it's just a free-form back room. And it's all taking place inside there. And giving a presentation around 7. And then there's some seismic sound between 7:30 and 9.
Fantastic. And you've got a website as well. Can we get that web address?
It's blog.allshookup.org.
Oh, that's beautiful. All Shook Up. Now, you're going to stay with us for our little segment. What is this, Miss Death?
We're going to do Trash or Treasure, I think.
Right, okay.
Now, I found this this piece. It's one of these, out of the 365-day program, project, sorry, yep. Not program.
That was just Dave and I removing our Velcro tabs on our shorts here.
Trash or treasure? Beautiful. Haven't heard that for a while because been doing University of the Air instead of Trash or Treasure. Now, this 365-day project is called... It's very bizarre. Leper in a tumble dryer.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Now, this guy apparently goes around leaving tapes in all sorts of random places, like on trains, supermarkets, buses, shops.
Does anyone know who this leper is?
No. And no, it's not the leper that leaves them.
Yeah, that's his name, though, isn't it?
No. The song is called Leper in a Tumble Dryer.
The song's called Leper in a Tumble Dryer.
Yes. Right, and okay. It's... the name of the artist, that's all that's it's ever, it's Ashford Diaz Yak.
Right, so, okay. This guy's more obscure than Jadnik.
He is very obscure. I mean, no one knows him. There's no filming of him. Anyway, this was left on a bus or a train or something like that, and this guy got a hold of it, and he's included it in the 365-day project, so... We'll have a listen to it and see.
So you've
got
to work out, Dave, if this is music to actually listen to an earthquake.
Well, we've got to work out if this is if this is trash or treasure. Because if it's trash, it's going.
Leper in a tumble dryer. Leper in a tumble dryer. Leper in a tumble dryer. Now he spins. Round and round, someone left a laundry basket out. Then he fell back and smashed his head. Someone put the laundry in the tumble dryer. Now he spins round and round. Leper in a tumble dryer. His eczema turns to porridge, and the soap suds fill the screen. Someone's tried to fill the tumble dryer with porridge. Leper in a tumble dryer. Leper in a tumble dryer. Leper in a tumble dryer. Now he spins round and round. Someone left a laundry basket out. Then he fell back and and smashed his head. Someone put the laundry in the tumble dryer. Now he spins round and round.
There you
that
go.
Is
Did
gold.
You hear the click?
I heard the click.
You
that
reckon
was
it's trash?
Stopping.
No, it's treasure.
It's treasure. It's
You're going
treasure.
For treasure.
Yeah. It's okay. definitely, I mean, it's been found on the London Tube, hasn't
okay.
it?
What,
Very
what,
dubby.
What yeah. he? What they do know, you know, it's possibly erroneous, but they know his name is Dan Wilson, and he leaves tapes for people to find them. And his only release appeared to be a split CD with ARC, which doesn't contain this song on it. So there you go.
What, a split CD with Planet ARC?
With ARC.
Oh, God,
oh, I
what
don't
does
know.
That
ARC,
mean?
ARC. Yeah. So that's Leper in a Tumble Dryer. But if you get that CD compilation, you're not going to get Leper in a Tumble Dryer.
So I guess you only get Leper in a Tumble Dryer if you're on the
if
right
If you're lucky,
train,
that's right.
The right laundromat
You sounded
at the
English
right time.
To me.
You sounded very English.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a Leper in a Tumble
Big
Dryer.
Big dub sound. Yep. But, you know, you never know. It could be Australian, you know. It could be
I
Sheriff Lindo
well,
in disguise or something, you know. I think I agree with you, Dave. I think it is treasure. It's absolute gold.
Seismic treasure.
Yeah, seismic yeah. treasure. Remember that, Coffin Ed.
Indeed. Right. Now, we've got some guests coming up around about 10 to, have we?
11 o'clock.
Well, 11 o'clock.
At 11, yeah. Mm. yeah. They're coming
okay.
out at 10 to.
We might have another track and then
and
come
then
back.
Come back for some news, I think.
All right. Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much, Dave. We'll see you on Thursday night.
Thanks for having me.
It'll be great. A great experience. And we wish you all the best in the States. We want you to check out Bohemian Grove and become our international correspondent. So just think about it. Get back to us on that one.
I'm on the ground.
Yeah, once that machine's installed, you'll have to give us a ring from over there.
I will. Let's
maybe
do it.
Actually on the machine. Is
yeah.
that possible?
Yeah, that's possible. Let's do
the
it.
The time zones connect really well. So it's like early evening.
Yes,
it'd
be early evening.
Friday,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be cool. Let's do that.
So how? When can we expect that?
It's operational from the 28th of June.
Wow.
To the 28th of September.
Okay, well, you have to give us a contact number or email address before you go.
Yeah, certainly.
Great. Fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, time for a bit of news. And coming up very shortly, we're going to be speaking with Nikki Blue Eyes and some of the guys from the Snowdroppers. Are they all coming in?
I don't know if they're all coming in. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess they
will
be.
We'll see if it's... Oh, creaky door.
Creaky
That's
door,
like.
Creaky
oh,
throat.
It's always creaky doors. Come on, Miss Tiff.
World's gone mad.
Ah, yes it has. Yes it has.
Well, I might just step out and get our Nikki Blue Eyes together whilst you do this, Miss Death. Oh, my God, there's Ooh. Another sting.
No.
Good heavens, you're doing everything at the moment.
No, what I'm doing is trying to get my stuff sorted out here because it's all over the shop.
Right, okay. But I thought we were doing the news then.
Yes, I am doing the news.
Yes.
I just need some background music. Yeah, that's not the kind of background music that I need. Okay.
Beautiful. A bit of Germanic jazz.
Yeah, I like Germanic jazz. Penis snatchers. Police in Congo have arrested 13 suspected sorcerers accused of using black magic to steal or shrink men's penises after a wave of panic and attempted lynchings triggered by the alleged witchcraft. Now, we've had these before, haven't we, Coffin?
We have, yes.
They come up sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I don't know if you could call it a craze, but it's a hysteria hits a group. You know,
I was going to say something.
Okay, all right. Yes, let's not go there. And it's always men losing their penises, and it's always got to do with, you know, witchcraft's always involved, or they either get snatched or, well, they don't get snatched. Clearly, they get stolen or they get shrunk, shrunken penis. I reckon it's a bunch of men with small ones who, you know, that's their excuse, and they're going to stick to it that it got shrunk by someone. Anyway, moving right along. Search and seizure, no problem. The Supreme Court affirmed Wednesday that police have the power to conduct searches and seize evidence even when done during an arrest that turns out to have violated state law. So they don't care. They'll still take it into account, even if you know how usually things get tossed out on a technicality because it wasn't the search and seizure wasn't done properly and blah blah blah. Well, they don't care anymore. If they find evidence, they're going to use it. It's the world we're living in today. Complete with uniform, cap, boots, and belt, An Action Man-style doll of Nazi leader Adolf Hitler has gone on sale in the Ukraine, with saleswomen comparing the doll to Barbie. You're speechless there, Coffin.
It's a small doll, is it? Like a Barbie size
It's like
doll.
A Barbie doll, oh, yeah. Right. It's an Adolf...
For one moment, I thought it was like a...
Not a blow-up doll.
A blow-up
No, it's not a... No.
Adolf Hitler. God, the mind boggles there, doesn't it?
It does boggle. Mm. But no, it's a Barbie-sized doll of Adolf Hitler.
Could you get an Eva Braun doll to go with it?
You'd probably get a pair, I'd say.
Can you?
Yeah, I'd say you should be able to.
A little
to.
Bunker to put them in, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd
and
be
burn
nice.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of lighter fluid and set them alight.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Best trained grizzly bears in the business today. A 700-pound grizzly bear attacked and killed a Canyon County man Tuesday at a compound near Big Bear Lake that trains wild animals for movies and television work. So there you go.
Bears sad. Getting their own back.
Well, yeah, they are. You know, you can't pen up these animals and teach them to do tricks without something going
wrong
occasionally.
No, that bear was just been in quite a big Hollywood film with one of those modern day...
called Grizzly?
No. I just try to think of the guy's name. He's one of those actors that's in those kind of new wave Hollywood comedy films, you know?
Ben Stiller?
Like a Ben Stiller type, yeah.
Which one?
Oh, the guy with the big curly hair, you know?
Farrell?
Yeah, that's the guy, I think. Yeah.
What's his name? I can see his face.
Yeah,
what movie was that?
Well, I don't know. Well, he wrestled a bear in
one really?
Of them, and that was the same bear that
that's the same bear.
Killed the trainer.
It's a pity it didn't kill him.
Mm.
Okay.
I reckon.
Might have saved us from watching some more crappy movies. Stealing houses. New Orleans. A local man is actively trying to take possession of hurricane-ravaged houses and deputies are actively trying to stop him, police said. According to the St. Bernard's Sheriff's Office, Jesse Bryant, 47, was booked with burglary and criminal trespassing after posting signs in yards of damaged houses reading, not cough, cough, I, Jesse Bryant, take possession of this abandoned property. Police said he went so far as to change the locks in one house at a subdivision, effectively keeping the real owner out of his own house.
Oh, my God.
The worst of humanity.
Mm,
anyway, I'm going to go into a coughing fit. I can feel
okay.
it. No, I can't. Let's go to Teen Repellent, New York. A wall-mounted gadget designed to drive away loiterers with a shrill, piercing noise audible only to teens and young adults is infuriating civil liberties groups and tormenting young people after being introduced into the United States. Now, we had these installed in Brighton. Remember we spoke about this a few months ago?
Rockdale Council.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now they've installed them in New York. Now, almost 1,000 units of the device called the Mosquito have been sold in the United States and Canada after the product debuted last year, according to Daniel Santel, the North American importer of the device, sold under the company name Kids Be Gone. The high-frequency sound has been likened to fingernails dragged across a chalkboard.
Ooh, nasty.
Or a pesky mosquito buzzing in your ear. It can be heard by most people in their teens and early 20s who still have sensitive hair cells in their inner ears. Whether you can hear the noise depends on how much your hearing has deteriorated.
We had a teacher at school that when the kids wouldn't shut up, she had like big long fingernails, she used to drag them across.
Oh,
really?
Sadistic.
Yeah. Boy, did people shut up then, I can
bet.
Tell you.
There you go. How loud you blast your iPod, for example, could affect your ability to detect it. Putting things in your ears. Anyway, civil liberty groups are up in arms over in America about this. Apparently kids under 12 are not affected.
Really?
How does that
it's
work?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, that doesn't make sense
I don't
at
believe
all.
That for one second. You know, that's a very specific target group, isn't it? 12 to 20.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
Mm, anyway. Drunken men seek vengeance, as they do.
As they do.
Three drunken men carried out an axe attack on a tree they blamed for a car crash that killed a friend, a court was told the other day. New Zealand, of course.
Mm.
Where else? So they got into I think it was the guy's anniversary or something of his death. So they got into it. They had a few drinks, and then they decided to go and attack the tree that killed him.
Really?
Yeah. Bloody idiots.